Hey mom, does this sound familiar? You encourage your daughter to read her Bible and she says something like,
Mom, I don't get it.
It's so boring.
I don't have time, Mom. We get it. Sometimes getting her to love God's word seems impossible.
That's exactly why we created the True Girl Pop-Up Party Weekend for you.
It's a whole weekend designed to break through those barriers. Friday night kicks it off with worship and a Bible teaching to put you in the driver's seat of the conversation.
Saturday morning, you'll dive into God's Word together in a mom-daughter workshop, and she'll learn the 4Z method of Bible study created for girls her age.
It's fun and it's faith building. You'll worship together, you'll learn together, and mom, you'll leave ready to build her faith like never before.
I'm Dana Gresh.
And I'm Shani McKenzie. And we want to hang with you.
We're coming to California, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. We'd love to see you at the True Girl Pop-Up Party.
Hey, Mom. So I really wanted to connect with my daughter and help her grow closer to Jesus. But finding age-appropriate tools wasn't happening until I discovered the True Girl subscription box. Each box is packed with biblically-based tools like a mom and daughter date, devos written just for girls, and curated gifts and surprises. My daughter can't wait for each box to arrive. And hey, I found myself digging into God's Word more as a result. Check it out at mytruegirl.com.
Welcome to the True Girl Momcast, where we'll learn a lot, laugh a little, and have biblical conversation about raising daughters because motherhood is hard. But guess what? You are not alone. I'm Shani McKenzie, and I'll be joined by my friend Dana Gresh. Today, we may not laugh as much as we sometimes do, but this episode, it matters so much. You know, more than 6 million children and teens in the U.S. will experience the death of a parent or a sibling by age 18. And that doesn't even count the grief of losing a grandparent or a pet or even friends. Today, we're not only going to give you tools to help you know how to handle grief, sadness, or deep disappointment when it hits your girl, but we're also offering the key to discover joy. And you'll hear the joyful testimony of a dying mother, Colleen Chow. I do encourage you to have your tissues close by. This is going to be an emotional episode, but we do want to help you discover that joy and give you the keys to that. Dana, jump in here. I want to talk about how you and I became convinced this episode had to happen.
Yeah, because it really was the Lord, I think, that directed us to it through a series of events.
Yeah.
It started with you, actually.
Yeah. We were at a True Girl event, and we were at the signing line at the end of the event, and a beautiful young lady named Hazel and her mom, Gina, came up to me, and Hazel's older sister, Miriam, had recently passed of meningitis. She was, I believe, about 17.
Wow.
Teenager. And she loved the Lord. And Hazel just kept talking about what an influence her sister had on her and how difficult it had been just living with her death. But she asked if we would do something, you know, for girls that were grieving.
Yeah.
You know, she listens to our podcast. Her mom listens to the Momcast, and she gets the box. And,
yeah.
And she just wanted to see if we could do something to help encourage those girls and help give them
Yeah.
some tools.
And it's interesting because since then we've gotten so many letters from
Yes.
moms saying, my child is grieving. Mm-hmm. What tools do you recommend? Mm-hmm. And had a really hard time actually finding them. And so we decided, let's create something. So really this whole month we've devoted the True Girl podcast with Stacy Rudolph and myself is a whole
Yeah.
series. Starting out with Hazel's story, it's on how to overcome hard times, including grief and death. And then this podcast here, we hope we really equip you as moms to have that conversation. I just want to really dedicate this episode to Hazel and to Gina. Now, before you tune out because you don't have death in your family or deep grief in your family, I really do think this episode is for every mom, because your daughter is going to go through the grief of a pet loss. She's going to go through the grief of losing a friendship. She's going to go through the grief of not making the team. There are all kinds of griefs in the world, and they all matter to God.
I'm so glad you said that. Grief doesn't always just have to be associated with death.
And right.
We'll get to that a little bit later. But I want you to be sure to stick around to the end when we'll direct you towards some really powerful tools tools to help your daughter understand grief and discover joy. And Dana will invite you to join the Holy Girl Walk. It's happening this month, y'all. Mm-hmm. So we want to dive in right now. Let's dive in.
Let's do it. Shani, could you go ahead and read Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12? These two verses contain a truly beautiful promise about what grief in the hands of God ends like. But they also teach us three things as moms who are guiding their children through grief.
I will definitely do that. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Good verses. And some of you who are in grief right now have probably already been ministered to just by those words. But let me take you through these three things that, as I've studied these verses, God has really taught me. And I have to say, He's taught them to me in a season of grief, not necessarily grief over death, though I did lose a pet this year. It was just kind of grief over a hard year. First thing is this: grief is telling you the truth. Think about that. Grief is telling you something that is true. It's telling you you lost something. Yeah. It's telling you you dreamed of something that didn't happen. It's a truth teller. Now, we know this partly because Scripture is truth. Scripture says God is not a man that he should lie. All Scripture is God-breathed, right? But there's a lot of grief throughout the Bible, tons of grief. And we find some of it here in Psalm 30. It's one of the spots. So grief is truth-telling. It's telling you the truth. That's something I really learned this year as I grieved the loss of my horse, as I grieved my husband's health because he's been sick for longer than a year. And I was grieving both of these things. But what does that mean, grief is telling the truth? How can that help us with our children? Well, let them express it. Let them feel it. As moms, I think so many times we don't want them to feel the sad stuff. Yeah. And so we try to put a Band-Aid on it with busyness. Or I have a friend who just recently experienced death in their family. And this friend told me, I just got my kids busy. And I said, I wonder if that was the right decision. Sometimes we need to just sit in the grief. Yeah. You know, earlier in Psalm 30, it says, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping does have a place and a time. You also see that blessed are those who mourn.
Yeah.
So there's a blessing to be experienced in the grief. So mom, don't push your kids to rush past the grief.
Yeah.
It's healthy. Pause. Remember. Grieve. Cry. Yeah. You know, I remember our home, it would have been, my children would probably consider it their childhood home. It wasn't their first home, but the one they would most remember has a whole cemetery of hamsters under the cherry tree. And, you know, those were griefs for my sweet Lexi. She was a hamster girl, and she had hamster babies, and those hamster babies didn't always make it. And eventually, the first two hamsters, we thought it was Esther and Mordecai. It turned out to be Lester and Mordecai. They didn't make it. These were really serious griefs for her little third grade heart, right?
Yeah.
And we had to stop, observe it, bury those hamsters, and let her feel it. And I think that was an important process for her to learn how to grieve. Of course, that's the mini course in grief, but she's going to learn about it for later in life when she needs to handle bigger lessons in grief. How have you helped your children move through grief and also pause and stop?
Oh, I think a big part of it was letting them sit with us in it. When we moved, I mean, that's why I said earlier, grief doesn't always have to do with death. It's just a loss of something, right? You know, something's changing or something you didn't get. I had to realize that just like there's stages of grief with, you know, when something physically dies or someone physically dies, there's stages of grief if you're moving and leaving something you loved. So when we moved here, they would watch us go through it. They would watch us cry, and we'd invite them in and, you know, ask them to express how they felt. And of course, we'd pray through it, but giving them permission because, you know, like one of my children isn't, she doesn't like to express feelings in that way. Like she doesn't like to cry. She'd rather just kind of hold it, and just giving her space to do that. It's okay. You should feel like this. You love that. But then also giving them space to figure out what the relationship with the people that we left is going to look like now.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be a video chat every Saturday? Or you're going to write letters. They started writing letters, like physical letters, cool, to people that they missed. And so I think it's so important to kind of bring our children into those moments, because it does let them know it's okay. And it also lets them know that mom and dad are, you know, we're walking the talk as well. You know, like we're feeling this as well. But yeah, just doing that and praying through it together. Yeah.
Praying through it. That's a really important thing. Mm-hmm. So let them feel it. Grief is telling them the truth. Number two, grief comes in many forms. You see in these verses, it says, "You have taken away my clothes of mourning." Mm-hmm. Today, that would be, we wear black typically to a funeral. Back then, it would have been sackcloth. Mm-hmm. And you see sackcloth mentioned in the Old Testament time and time again. We don't always get that, but basically this is them sending a signal to the world that says, I am in mourning. Mm-hmm. And there were three times, as I trace scripture, that we see sackcloth used. Mm-hmm. One would be death. You know, we see David wearing sackcloth as his baby is potentially dying. And so when there is the death of a parent, the death of a grandparent, the death of a sibling, it's appropriate to even let the world know, I'm in grief. Another time we see sackcloth is sexual pain. We see this when Tamar is raped by her brother, that she puts on sackcloth. Mm-hmm. And that's something you need to take seriously. When there is sexual pain, sexual trauma, so many times I hear teenage girls, college age girls, young adult girls who express to their mom or their parents in their lives, you know, I was uncomfortable with something happened with a babysitter, or I was uncomfortable with something happened. And it might not be, like as in Tamar's case, a rape, but they felt violated. Yeah. And then they felt double violated by mom or dad not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And just never talking about it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to pause. I've seen other moms do it really well.
Mm-hmm.
I see the other moms take it very seriously, and their daughters go on to be resilient and strong, partly because of that.
Mm-hmm.
The third way we see sackcloth used is fear of the future. Mm-hmm. We see Mordecai wearing sackcloth in the book of Esther because he's afraid for the future of his people. But, you know, going back to your story, Shani, moving creates some uncertainty of the future.
Yeah.
And it's an appropriate time to grieve and to mourn. Not making the soccer team changes the future. Not getting on point in ballet changes the future. This little girl might have thought, oh, this, I'm going to be a ballerina. Now she can't get on point. That's an appropriate time to grieve.
Yeah.
So I think looking at how sackcloth is worn in the scripture gives us some context for how much and where we should let them grieve. Now, some of these things are worse than others, I think, but all of them are training to trust in God. And all those many griefs, as I said earlier, are training for the harder ones. Yeah. So the third truth, grief does end. It says, you've taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. First of all, who does that? God does that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to end our time of grief. God does. We can't do that. Joy is an emotion of God, Shani.
Yeah.
You know, the world uses the word joy a lot. I do think they have a different meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Joy, they kind of use that in place of or as a synonym for happiness.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what joy is. I think joy is the sense that Jesus is in the pain with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the commingling of pain with confidence and trust in God.
Yeah.
Only his presence can bring what I believe is true joy.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we experience joy? It says it right here, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. In part, we grieve so that we can express and sing our praise to God. Does that seem ironic? Well, it's because ultimately we know that Jesus has overcome everything that we grieve over on the cross. The Bible says that one day, he'll wipe away all our tears and that we will forget the mourning.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense when you understand it in that context, but it's not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
So we grieve so that we can experience the joy of Christ, him in the presence with us. And I don't know any other way to truly express what this looks like than through the testimony of one of our friends. Her name is Colleen Chow.
Yes.
Now, as we record this, Colleen is living under the shadow of terminal stage 4 cancer. The Lord has given her so many more weeks and months and even years than she anticipated. Mm. And we rejoice in that.
Absolutely.
But she is weakening. She's preparing for her son, Jeremy, to grieve well. And she's teaching him to sing.
Dana, I was just talking about Colleen and just following her and her posts. And that's truly the joy of Christ. It exudes from her, watching her walk through, this and to suffer well and teach her son to grieve well. She's teaching him to sing. This actually is probably the time you do need to grab a tissue.
Yeah.
But you don't want to miss her testimony of joy.
Okay. I never know how I had to start. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side.
I was 34 when I married, and then almost immediately got pregnant. And then when I was 35, had my son, Jeremy. Waiting so long for marriage and then to have a child later has been part of this grieving process, part of what I've had to wrestle through.
1 Samuel 8.
To be faced with this terminal diagnosis and go, but I don't get to finish my motherhood task. You know, I'm going to be interrupted midstream. We've always been very honest with Jeremy, very upfront, very transparent from the first diagnosis to this one. So I told him, I said, what the doctors had said, that it's stage 4, and that I gave him the timeline. And I just said, what a gift that we have. You know, God's given me the gift of some more time with you.
Yeah, it was very hard. Like, stage 4 cancer is very tough, and I was just really sad.
We chatted a little, and then he walked out of the room, and I heard him weeping. So I went into the bedroom and, you know, curled up next to him and just comforted and cuddled him, and he just wept. Jeremy's story requires that I go before the task is finished. And there's going to be glory in that.
Through thorny ways, leads to the joyful end.
Man, at 18 years old, I had the world on a string. I was so ambitious and driven, and it was good stuff, but it was so full of me still. Before my first cancer diagnosis, I would just constantly get comments about, you look so young for your age. And I think subconsciously, I put stock in that. And once I started fighting cancer several years ago, it's just stripped away. It's that scripture that says outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And so as I see cancer take its toll on my face, my body, inwardly I'm more of Colleen, who God has created Colleen to be, than ever before. The suffering has been fashioned by God to take away the stuff that doesn't need to, the Colleen stuff that doesn't need to be there, so that then I can live out of the heart that he has given me, that I can truly be the Colleen he's been growing me more and more to be.
yeah, I mean, inner beauty, strength, I mean, has just become more and more beautiful, obviously, as years have gone on, you know, irregardless of what, you know, physical changes that we had to go through because of this journey. Yeah, I mean, love and appreciation has definitely increased, and it's, yeah, I'm just wowed, you know, I thank her every day for fighting.
Honestly, if it weren't for my husband and son, I would love to go today. I wouldn't even do chemo. I'd go. Entering into Jesus' presence without shame, without fear. Of course, a fear of him, right? An awe. Who knows? Maybe I'll be flat on my face when I enter his presence, or I don't know. It's crazy to think about. As the Father loves Jesus, he loves me? What? That is crazy stuff. When I enter eternity, I don't enter judgment. Like, that's incredible. I can't wait. My heart is heavy for what lies ahead for Jeremy and Eddie. My suffering will come to an end, mine will, but theirs will continue. And that's the hardest for me. And I have to trust God in a new way with the dearest people in my life, and to know that that's where they're going to find more of God. And I'm, you know, I'm dispensable. God doesn't need me to do his work. You know, he graciously, joyfully chooses to use me until he calls me home. There aren't many days left, according to the information we have right now, unless God wants to work a miracle, which he could do, and we know that. So knowing that makes not only the days feel sacred and weighty, but the hours, and there are moments that just, I'm just soaking it all in a new way, and knowing how fragile this life is and how it goes in a blink, whether it's 20 years or 90 years, it's fast. So there's a gift to this that's weighty that I wish we could all experience, wish I could have experienced before this diagnosis even. We've just decided we want to live fully every day. Like, how does this one start?
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
Songs I memorized with my mom have helped me through this a lot too.
I started putting scriptures to tunes. That helps me, and so he responded really well to that, and the scriptures, we were able to get bigger and bigger chunks because it was to music.
Once we memorize them, it's like we'll have them for the rest of our lives, and like, again, during hardships, that'll probably help me too.
And I just thought of the fact that my voice might be gone, but God's word, through the songs, and through the days God's given me a voice in his life, the word will continue.
Keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, both from this time forth and forevermore.
The reality of wasting away in front of my son is, that's hard. And so I've often thought or wondered if his strongest memories will be his mom as a chemo patient. And so I've prayed that far outweighing those images and memories would be the joy that God has put into my life. And I've asked God, I'm like, would you let me be living out of the heart you've given me to the very end? That I'd be able to laugh and be a little sassy and crack a joke and be joyful to the very end. And so that that's even something that would mark Jeremy's last memories. of me and Eddie's too. I hope they know and remember how much I love Jesus and how good Jesus has been to me. God didn't cheat me. He didn't cheat them, but that they would know that I love him and I trust him, and that I know that he is about good in the worst parts of this story, worst humanly speaking. I hope they remember my joy. Yeah, I hope they remember my cackling laughter. Yeah.
That's our friend, Colleen Chow. She's experiencing joy, and by that I mean she's experiencing the presence of Jesus, and she's teaching her son Jeremy to sing. I'm so grateful to Revive Our Hearts for producing and sharing that testimony of Colleen. It's actually a video that is so worth seeing and sharing. You can find the link in our show notes.
And there's some other links you'll want as well. As promised, we have some tools to recommend to you. Colleen has written a fiction book for her son to teach him to grieve well. My daughter just read it, actually, and loved it. And we recommend it to you for your children. It's a delightful story. And it's titled Out of the Shadow World.
That's right. And we also want you to know about season 18 of the True Girl podcast for your daughter. It's titled Your Map to Joy. You know, in February, I lost my beloved horse, Trig. And I, out of that, as well as out of Hazel's life story, I wanted to write a season helping girls deal with disappointment, grief, and sadness. The whole season is set on my farm, where girls will meet my horses, goats, fat mini donkey, and the black sheep of the family, of course. Stacy Rudolph and I are walking through Psalm 30 to help your daughter see that real joy doesn't mean pretending. It means trusting God. And she can join us as we walk and memorize one verse at a time.
Speaking of walking, moms, today's the day.
It is.
Join us for the Holy Girl Walk Season 3, a 24-day journey to hide God's word in your heart and walk in his joy. Your daughter's invited too.
That's right. We're memorizing Psalm 30, one verse at a time, and I'd love for you to do that with us. Follow me, Dana Gresh, or True Girl on social media, Instagram and Facebook. We're going to have daily prompts there. You can listen to the short podcast episode that I've created. It's called the Holy Girl Walk Podcast. It's like a 3 to 5 minute kickoff to your walk every day. Or you can grab your workbook, Proclaim His Deliverance, and that takes you a little more deeply into each verse that you'll be memorizing and meditating on every day. I just want to invite you to walk together with me in truth, prepare for those next seasons of hardship by storing up in your heart scripture that helps you to walk through those times in joy. You can find everything you need at mytruegirl.com.
Have you gotten your tickets to the pop-up party yet?
Have I gotten my ticket to the pop-up party? I get to go to the pop-up party. The pop-up party is at my farm.
The pop-up party is at your farm. You better have gotten your tickets. But moms, you need to get your tickets. We want to see you right here in State College, Pennsylvania, June 27th and 28th. We are going to be digging into God's word, teaching you how to teach your girls how to read through God's word and open it up. Dana, you created this 4Z method of Bible study. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, yeah. In 2018, I did some research and found that 70% of tween girls, our true girls, I surveyed 1,500 of them, weren't spending time in God's word on a regular basis. Mm. And I was like, no. I asked the moms why. Many of them said she doesn't have the tools. So we've been creating tools since then. Mm-hmm. As well as she didn't understand it. So we took the inductive method of Bible study, simplified it into the 4Z method of Bible study. We zoom out for context. Mm-hmm. We zoom in on the particulars so that we can really focus and study on one concept. We zero in, what does it mean for me? And then we zip it up in prayer. Mm. And last November, we took time, spent 2 days with moms and daughters in Washington, D.C. to teach them this method. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know if we would ever do another event again, mm-hmm. but we did meetings with those moms, focus groups afterwards, and said, how has it changed your daughter's time in the Word? it was game changing.
Yeah. Yeah,
these moms are saying, my daughter is asking me to spend time in the Word. Mm-hmm. Also, I had a mom walk up to me in May and said, you know, I came to that event in November and it's been a game changer for me. I'm using it in my daily reading time. So this is an opportunity for you to spend a whole weekend getting your daughter equipped to understand the Word, motivated to spend time in the Word. But more than that, just to connect with her and with Jesus. Yes. Friday night's worship and teaching. Saturday morning is a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to roll up our sleeves and do the 4Z method.
Yeah.
And there's an option to add on an afternoon at my farm.
Yay!
Spend time with the critters. Romans 1:20. You don't have to just spend time with them on the podcast. Yes. You can come meet them, touch them, take pictures with them. And I think we are more than halfway sold out.
Wow.
On the spots available at that afternoon add-on piece.
Oh, well, you better go get your tickets
so
for that.
They're almost gone. Yeah. There's only about 50 spots, and
so
we're at like up to 30 right now. So
yeah,
go to mytruegirl.com. Also, the True Girl pop-up party will be in July. It will be in California.
Ooh,
and this fall will be in Texas and Wisconsin. So if you can't join us in Pennsylvania this month, check it out. We did these four regional, West Coast, East Coast, Southern, and Midwest, so that you can come to one of them.
Yeah,
we hope to see you.
Can't wait to see you there. If you're planning to join us for the Holy Girl Walk, we've got something special to help your daughter enjoy every step of the journey. It's your last chance to get the True Girl Wellness Box. And at the heart of it is the Holy Girl Walk Map, created to guide her as she walks and memorizes Psalm 30 with you. The box also includes fun fitness tools like a water bottle and jump rope, plus daily devotionals to help her discover what God's Word says about her body and why it matters. Subscribe today at mytruegirl.com to get your box just in time for summer and our official Holy Girl Walk starting June 2nd.